Am I live back there? Ooh, Diane. It's a little loud for me. Okay. Yeah. Let's all stand and do our 91st Psalm first. Take a deep breath. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I want you to look at, put it right back up. There we go. Keep going. There, whoa, right there. See this line? I will set him on high because he has known my name. Remember that, okay? Just remember that. Now, as usual, when I speak, I don't mean to be hateful, but if there's something you've got to do, do it now. I don't get distracted up here. Preach it. And they don't distract you, okay? It's all right. You can talk to me later and forgive me and all that stuff. You know. In preparing for the message today, two spirits going. One was giving me the word, and the other one was saying, they already know all this stuff. And the spirit would say, tell them anyway. They already know it. They're going to be bored. Tell them anyway. So, y'all going to get it whether you want it or not. Okay. Now, I want you to note that this is not a state of the church message today. Okay? So get that out of your thinking. What it is something you've already heard all your life. And I'm just going to go over it with you. Is that all right?
Yes.
Okay. What I want to do, well, you can entitle this message, since it's Easter, Getting to Know Him. Getting to know Him, getting to know all about Him, right? Okay, that's getting to know Him. Now, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine. I was born in the mountains of North Carolina, and I'm proud of it, in a little two-bedroom house that my dad and mom had rented from my uncle. When mom went into labor, my dad drove into town some distance away and picked up the doctor, brought her to the room where mom was in labor, and I was delivered there. I was the fourth of five children. Dad was a pastor and an evangelist. Where he went, the family went. The four oldest of us children sang. Not optional. It was mandatory. I remember Easter. I had the world's best mother, by the way. I remember Easter. We'd get out of bed and get ready to go to church, and all of our five children, all of our shoes would be in the hall, side by side, shined and clean and sitting there ready for us to put them on. Guess who did that? Mama did it, yeah. Most wonderful lady you ever met. But she was along too. Wherever Dad went, we went. And we sang. But not long after I was born, I began hearing about a man who had been born in a cave. It was actually a stable. And he slept in an animal's feed trough. As I grew, I heard more and more about this man. I began to wonder who he was. I heard stories about him and descriptions of him. It seemed from the stories that people around him had trouble finding out who he really was. Puzzled. One thing is for sure. It took some amazing things to happen for people to learn who he was. For example, one day an angel appeared to a young virgin in a little Galilean town named Nazareth, and told her that even though she was a virgin, she was going to have a baby, and she would call his name, you may say it, Jesus. Again, Jesus. There's such a sweet feeling when I say Jesus. But anyway, that's what the angel said. That is the name most frequently used for him, Jesus. Then, right after he was born, one night, a group of shepherds were taking care of their sheep when the sky was filled with angels and one announced the birth of a baby in nearby Bethlehem, and he was to be called Savior and Christ the Lord. Jesus, Savior, Christ the Lord. In fact, hundreds of years before that announcement, a prophet in Israel had said that a baby would be born and his name would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. The same prophet, Isaiah, proclaimed that a child would be born who would be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Now pay attention. Then a couple of years after he was born, a group of magicians, or wise men, from the far east came looking for him and first went to King Herod and asked where the child was, who was to be the king of the Jews. This is amazing stuff to me. A star of all things directed them to the child in Nazareth, where they presented gold and frankincense and myrrh to the parents in honor of this little boy with all these names. Now, the names of the boy kept piling up. Savior, Emmanuel, Christ the Lord, Son of the Most High God, King of the Jews, Jesus. Hope you're taking notes, unless you just know this by heart, which I've heard you did. Anyway, after all these names were assigned to him, he went into a period of relative obscurity. Except there was one incident when he was about 12 years old. He went with his parents to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, and when they headed back home to Nazareth, his parents realized he wasn't with them. I don't know how that happened, but it did. And they went back to Jerusalem and found him in the temple carrying on conversations with the scribes and the Pharisees, evidently not a bit intimidated. His parents asked why he had done this to them, and he said, "Didn't you know that I needed to be about my Father's business?" They didn't understand what he meant, the Bible says. Another sign that those around him, even his parents, didn't understand who he was. The next time we see him is in an encounter at the Jordan River. One of his cousins, named John, was in the river baptizing people who had repented of their sins and wanted to be cleansed through baptism. And Jesus walks up. Now he's about 30 years old by then, cousin of John. I imagine they had had some good times together over the years. I don't know. But John cried out a new name for Jesus, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He then baptized Jesus, and the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove on Jesus. And Almighty God spoke and said to Jesus, "You are my beloved Son, and I am well pleased with you." And this is even before he began his ministry. The Father was already pleased with him. Beloved Son. Now I remind you that I was a kid trying to make sense of all of this as I was hearing it, trying to get to the bottom line of who this man was and how it was related to me. How could anyone have that many names, and was he real? Well, back to the story. After he was baptized, he spent 40 days in the desert being tempted by God. He overcame all the temptations and emerged ready to begin his ministry. He started doing some amazing things. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He cleansed lepers. He raised the dead. So, healer became a name for him. Now, being human and subject to physical demands, he got tired one day. And a scribe came to him and called him Master, and said he would follow Jesus anywhere. Yeah, right. He didn't even know who he was talking to, but he called him Master. Jesus responded out of his own exhaustion, and it sounded like a totally unrelated statement. He said, "The Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head." I guess that the scribe kind of shrank off and went somewhere else. But then Jesus got in a boat with his disciples, and what did he do? He lay down and went to sleep. He was tired. They got out on the lake and ran into a horrible storm. A new name emerged for him from the disciples. Lord, save us. He promptly calmed the storm. But listen to what they said. "Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Good question. Who can this be? You see, they still didn't know who he was. But as soon as they landed the boat, two demon-possessed men came out running toward Jesus. What'd they say? "What do we have to do with you, Jesus, Son of God?" They knew who he was. These demon-possessed men. So Jesus sent the demons that possessed them into a herd of pigs, and they all ran into the sea and drowned. The whole village around asked him to leave. They must have liked pork chops. Next, he healed a paralytic, and he told his disciples that the Son of Man had the power on earth to not only heal, but to forgive sins. He's taking on more, you see. Now let's pause here for a second. There's a picture emerging of a man who is Son of God, Son of Man. He is involved in and has awareness of things on earth and things in heaven simultaneously. Amazing. He had one foot here and one foot in heaven. He knew what was going on both places. He listened to his Father constantly. And he would even sneak off away from the disciples and get on a mountain and just pour out his heart to his Father. And his Father let him know, this is what you do. Because he said, I don't do anything unless my Father tells me to. Now, since God alone could forgive sins, this healer was on earth also forgiving sins. Got him in trouble. But Son of God, Son of Man, his identity was beginning to emerge. Who is this man? We're beginning to find out. Now, about this time, John the Baptizer, one of Jesus' strongest supporters, had heard of the great things that Jesus was doing. And he sent two of his disciples to Jesus and asked, are you the coming one? Capital letters. Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Jesus told them to tell John to believe him for the works that he was doing. Now, Matthew tells us that Jesus said, now hear this, no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. And, important, and the ones to whom the Son wills to reveal him. I'm glad he had that prerogative. Evidently, there was a timing issue involved for this revelation to manifest. All through the Bible, we have in the fullness of time. When this and when that. Very time-sensitive things were happening. Now, after this, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on a mountain where he was transfigured, speaking to Moses and Elijah. And then this mighty voice from a cloud said, remember back in the Jordan River? When the dove came, well, here he is on a mountain. Peter, James, John, Moses, and Elijah. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What? Listen to him. Before they left the mountain, Jesus told them, this is really interesting to me. Before they left the mountain, Jesus told them not to tell anyone about the experience until he was risen from the dead. And I imagine they say, what? I mean, here he is alive, being transfigured, God speaking to him, and he says, somewhere along the line, I'm going to be dead. And he said, don't go telling anybody about me and what happened on the mountain. You would think that there would be no lack of awareness among them of who Jesus was. But there is more. Jesus was on his way to Jericho one day, and a blind man named Bartimaeus, he was by the road, and he began crying out. Here we go. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The crowd told him to be quiet. He just screamed louder. And it says, Jesus stopped. Something got his attention. This guy's screaming a new name for him. Nobody else around him had heard. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, heal me. Jesus said, okay. And he did. But we got a new name out of that, Son of David. Then one day, while Jesus and the disciples were in Caesarea, out of the blue, Jesus asked them, who do men say that I am? Isn't that a neat question? Jesus thought that up on his own. Who do men say that I am? Well, they began guessing. We probably would too. And finally, Jesus stepped in and said, but who do you say that I am? That's a pretty important question Jesus asked. Peter finally spoke up. Surprise, surprise. And he said, you are the Christ, the anointed one. Name? Son of the living God. Name? Good answer, Peter. But Jesus told him he hadn't come up with that on his own, that the Holy Spirit had revealed that name to him. So we have another actor in the story, the Holy Spirit. And getting to know Jesus became more and more interesting as time went along and he walked the earth with his disciples. Then, as Jesus was nearing the end of his earthly ministry, the Jewish leaders were out to kill him. They didn't really know who he was, but they did know that he was a threat to their system. While they are scheming as to how to kill him, he appears down in Bethany, where he got on a donkey, or a horse, but I think it was a donkey in Scripture, and rode into Jerusalem on the donkey. Multitudes of people escorted him to the city, shouting, Hosanna, which means, save us, we pray. For a moment in time, they seemed to realize who he was. But this awareness faded quickly. In a few days, they would be shouting, crucify him. So their awareness didn't mean anything, did it? Toward the end of that week, Jesus and his disciples met to share the Passover meal. It was there that he washed their feet. What had they been missing that he would have to humble himself in this way? His compassion, his humility, his love, right over their heads. What were they after and what did they miss? All of that. After that, Jesus led them out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And there he spent 3 hours in the most horrible agony imaginable. Then the name game started again. Judas had accepted payment to betray Jesus, and he led the Jews and the soldiers to the garden to arrest Jesus. And as this large contingent of soldiers, scribes, and Pharisees approached Jesus, he asked them whom they were seeking. And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. They didn't have all these other names that we just went through. Or if they had them, they didn't use them. All they knew was Jesus of Nazareth. None of those good names they used. Jesus answered, hey, get this now. Jesus answered, I am. Boom! The one name that the Jews recognized, and they were knocked on their backside upon hearing it. They were all blown to the ground, including the soldiers, upon hearing the name of the very same God of Moses in the burning bush. You remember when God said, or Moses said, "Who am I going to tell them sent me?" He said, "I am." Jesus says, "I am." Wrap your head around that, folks. This is God Almighty in the flesh. So what did they do? They got up and they bound him. And they took him before the high priest. These silly guys, I mean, I've always wanted to whoop all of them, you know. But there was a reason and there was a time. They bound him and took him before the high priest and then on to Pilate. Pilate asked him an interesting question. "Are you the king of the Jews?" Somebody had told him that somebody had said he was the king of the Jews. Pilate asked him, and Jesus admitted to being a king. He didn't say, "I am the king of the Jews." He just said, "I'm a king." That got him in trouble too, because he couldn't be king of anything with Rome dominating the world. Because if you claimed to be a king, you were out of there. So after having Jesus scourged until he wasn't even recognizable, he ordered him to be crucified. Pilate wrote a placard to be put on the cross with Jesus. Wouldn't you know it? Names. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Hallelujah. They said, "Pilate, don't put that up there." And he said, "I'm Pilate, and I'm going to do what I want to do. Y'all shut up." So he put that placard up. And then they crucified Jesus, and he became the spotless Passover lamb. The names go on. But I want you to know they did not kill him. He yielded up his spirit to the Father and accepted death, which he had planned for from the foundation of the world. He just turned his spirit loose and sent it to the Father. Done. Finished. Now, from his birth to that moment, great things were accomplished. So at his death, it was no different. There was a tremendous earthquake, and darkness settled over all the earth, it says. And in the temple, interesting, there was a huge veil. That thing was 80 feet high. 80 feet high. And the lintel at the top was one large stone that went all the way across the top. And they say that this veil was as thick as a man's hand. It took 200 priests to take that thing down and clean it. But all of a sudden, the earth rocked, the darkness came, and that baby split right down the middle. Hallelujah. I get all torn up reading about that. There was a centurion who stood by the cross. And as he became aware of all these things happening, he cried out, "Surely this is the Son of God. Surely." The revelation began in earnest with that centurion who recognized who Jesus really was, Son of God. Now that centurion, we don't hear a lot about him. But early Christian writers tell us that he was one of the soldiers that was sent to the tomb to guard Jesus' tomb. And when Jesus rose, you know, this angel rolled the stone away, and all of these soldiers were flattened, kind of like in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, they went down, this centurion with them. Well, the scribes and the Pharisees said, you know, hey, let's don't talk about this. And early writings say this centurion told them to keep their money, that he saw what happened. And do you know, it also says in history that this centurion became a follower of Jesus and was beheaded for him. Bless him, Lord. You know? And also from the cross, Jesus took a believer with him. One of the thieves hanging on either side of him called him Lord and asked to be remembered by Jesus when he came into his kingdom. And he suddenly knew Jesus. He knew who he was. Now, history completely changed in that moment, that very dramatic moment. His body was taken down, laid in a tomb until Sunday morning, and a group of women went to the tomb to anoint his body. And guess what? It's gone. His body is not there. But he began showing up to different ones of his followers. He would pop into a meeting room. He'd get on the road to Emmaus. You know, he'd meet them in a garden somewhere. I mean, he was all over the place. He told them to wait, though, to spread the news that he was alive. Don't go blabbing it. Wait. Wait in Jerusalem until what? Until power from on high would come, and then they could tell it. Then they could tell everyone who he was, and he was alive forevermore. Can you say amen? When that power fell, it was time to tell everybody about Jesus, who he was, and what he had done, and what he was going to do. And Peter stood out there and preached the best sermon you ever heard. Thousands came to Jesus that day because they learned who he really was. And you know, there was this Pharisee too. His name was Saul from somewhere other than Israel. Tarsus, actually. But he was headed to Damascus to arrest some Jesus followers. But Jesus knocked him off his donkey onto the ground and introduced himself. And Paul asked him who he was. Who are you, Lord? He got that right. And Jesus explained things to him. They became very well acquainted. Paul later wrote to the Romans. He said this, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Now hear this. Now, you can't do that unless you know him. You can't confess him with your mouth unless you know him. I can't tell somebody who you are unless I know you. And that's what Paul is saying. And believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, in fact, Paul later told the Philippians that Father God had highly exalted Jesus and had given him what? A name. It's just all through here. Name, name, name. But here he gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen, amen. Then John was given a vision in Revelation 19 that identified Jesus as King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. King of kings and Lord of lords. And Jesus appeared to John another time and told him, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus is coming up with all these names now. There seems to be no end to the names of this God-man. But knowing his names opens the door to knowing him personally. But see, for me, at the age of 10 years, that's been a while ago, I had heard about him. And I had sung about him. But I had never met him. I had seen people flock to hear about him and find him and get to know him. Living in the mountains at that time, Dad had been called to come down to Johnson County on an evangelistic mission. And he was preaching at a church down in Johnson County. And Dad had to have us sing, remember? Mandatory. So he called back up to the mountains to his brother and he said, bring Pansy is my mother. Bring Pansy and the kids and come down here because they've got to be here to sing. So we all got in Uncle Paul's car and we came down to the church. Well, we got there probably an hour before service was to begin. And this is the truth. There were cars parked on both sides of the road for about a quarter of a mile. And as we got out and walked to the grounds of the church, there were people in trees waiting to hear the word. They were hungry, and they were going to be told who Jesus was. But I didn't know him. I sang about him. I heard Daddy preach hundreds of times the sermon about who he was. But at the end of one of the services, this question was posed. Do you want to meet and get to know this Savior? My answer was, yes, Lord. I want to meet this guy. I want to get to know him. And I met him that night. And I was baptized in a little farm pond down toward Smithfield. And I know him today. And I love him today. And he's my friend. And I hope I've introduced my friend to you today. Amen. If you don't know Jesus today, if you don't know him, the altar's open for you. You can come down here. We'll introduce you to him. Altar team, will you come and get in your places down here so that when people come